Welcome to The Gathering Storm, a 40k podcast aimed at the average 40k player. My name is Michael, and my co-host here with me is Ben. Say hi, Ben.
Hello.
So, my name, obviously, is Michael. I've been playing 40k for about 20 years now. I was very lucky when I was younger. My brother told me about this cool little game, and I was like, yep, sweet, let's go check it out. Went down, and at about 10 years old, felt absolutely in love with it. Had an absolute blast, and I'm so excited to be starting a podcast with my mate Ben, just talking about every aspect of the hobby we can. We both love it so much. There's different aspects for everybody, and we want to try and cover all of that. What we think might make our podcast a little bit unique, a little bit different, is that we are trying to cater to every average player, which is a tall order. We're well aware of that, but what we're envisioning is a podcast where people can chuck it on when they drive to work every fortnight or so. If they're painting, hobbying, gaming, whatever they're looking at, the local scene, the Australian meta, which as we know is superior, and give the people something they can listen to and get something out of every episode. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey into the hobby, and then I'll jump over to Ben to let him tell us all about himself. So like I said, about 20 years ago, I got onto this, played for a few years, played a lot of fantasy, played a lot of 40K, loved both, went swings and roundabouts. When a new edition came out of one or the other, I jumped into that mostly. Ended high school, unfortunately, as everyone does, took a bit of a break, was doing an apprenticeship, didn't really have much time. A few years later, finished the apprenticeship and got back into it. So I am a diehard Eldar elf kind of player. So a lot of people in Brisbane know that that's kind of my main faction. I have quite an extensive Eldar army, probably second only to Simon that I know of. And High Elves is what I played in fantasy. So for me, I am very much more a gamer than anything else. I don't really like building. I hate painting because I suck at it, but I have persevered recently. COVID lockdown gave me a bit of inspiration. I managed to paint an entire Imperial Fist army, which I thought would never happen given that it's yellow. Used little tips and little tricks there that I'm happy to share at some point. And then from there, after the painting, I went, right, I really want to kick it up with my competitive play. Brisbane, Queensland's a bit of a shark tank. The WTC team that was victorious last year only had half the team there, as well as half the coaches. So it makes it difficult to be pressing those people. But the benefit of that is they're fantastic blokes. They're always willing to help with training or playing and just giving you advice. So I really upped myself a couple of years ago. Went to a fair few GTs, did reasonably well. You're kind of 4-1, so I managed to win one GT, which was pretty awesome, and then got invited to join the Queensland team last year, which was incredible. We managed to win, which was probably, like, that's probably the pinnacle of my playing career, was to win ATC with the Queensland team with some fantastic players and just had an amazing weekend. This year, I'm the coach. So not one of the players, but I'm the coach for the Queensland team, which, again, you get all this fantastic insight into how list construction, tournament prep, all of these things happen. So for me, that's kind of where I'm at. Had a little bit of a break from playing as much the last 12 months or so due to having my son. He's just turned one, so we're at the stage now where we can start to get back into it. Very, very excited, though, with this new avenue of the hobby for me. So there's a little bit about myself. I'll be quiet now and let Ben have a bit of a chat.
No worries. Thanks, Michael. That's a really, really fun thing that I've listened to when listening to 40K podcasts. And I'm a 40K podcast junkie, I'll have you. And that's what's inspired me to do this. And look, I'll shout out to the normal blokes, to Adam Camilleri and everything that he does, the Down Under 40K guys. Thank you. You're my inspiration and the reason I approached Michael to join me on this. I actually sold him a GSC army over Facebook, which struck up this unique friendship. And we actually did the handover at Uprising in Adelaide this year. But going back to my journey, I was 12 and living in Sydney and walked past a Games Workshop store and all my mates kept walking, but there I was, glued to the windows, looking at these models, looking at how well they'd been painted, and then all the theatrics going on inside the store. I just started playing Hero Quest with a friend, but it was out of print by this stage, so we're talking like 92. But Warhammer Quest was well and truly alive and well. I got a copy of that, luckily, with the small amount of money I had and borrowing a bit from dad. And then the frequent visits to a G-Dub store saw me owning Mordheim, Necromunda, Blood Bowl. I literally wanted every game in the store, and that eventually led to 40K. Now, with 40K, it's a journey, and apropos to what Michael is saying, that journey. Not all of us start as elite players. Some of us are that intelligent and that quick to pick up the game, its rules, its quirks, and get good really quickly. And I've heard lots of people on different podcasts talk about this really quick entry into the game, and I'm very jealous of you. But I've picked up the hobby and put it back down again. Started up again at about eighth. So I started at second, put it down, picked it up at eighth. Or the tail end of seventh through eighth and ninth, but I only got the courage to play tournaments May last year. And it was because of the Uprising guys, so Josh Ngilkie, Simon Vickers, and Adam Napier, shout out to you three, running Neophyte tournaments. So tournaments for beginners, giving you that low pressure entry into tournament play. And I went, played three games, didn't podium, won two from three. But I got the bug. And once you get that bug, if going to a shop and spending, the better part of your entire pay isn't enough, now you're trying to fill your calendar with as many tournaments as possible. So for the listenership, I'm 42. I have two teenage sons that play sport all weekend, and I have a 16-month-old daughter. I work in a corporate position with many direct reports, and I travel the country regularly. So, one episode will cover work-life balance with 40K, and I think that is a big attributor to me being the average player. But I still managed to get some hobby and some gaming, and hey, why not throw in another podcast? It's got to be feast or famine. So I'm primarily a Ultramarines, which patched over to Iron Hands in the current meta. Add some Imperial Knights, and I'm now World Eaters too. So if I go back to my second edition roots, I loved my Khorne Berserkers. The rules back then, your list was a little bit more soupy rather than peculiar to one division of Chaos. But I've got a teams tournament on tomorrow. And I'll be running my World Eaters competitively for the first time tomorrow. So that's me in a nutshell. We'll unpack a lot of that over some coming episodes, but yeah.
What a nutshell. What a
Yeah,
nutshell too.
what a nutshell.
I love the fact that you're talking about that. I won't say work-life balance, I'll say Warhammer life balance, because as I've gotten older, and a lot of my mates who play 40K have gotten older, we are all learning how to juggle this. We're all experiencing this new thing where we're not 17, 20, 23 with no responsibilities, no nothing like that. We can, oh yep, sweet. I can go out all night, have a huge night, wake up, rock up the next day to the tournament hungover and still roll dice and have fun. It becomes more and more difficult I think at this stage of our lives. Like you said, you got a 6 month, 16 month old. My boy just turned one, so it is going to be quite an interesting episode, I think, for people to listen to about us talking about that Warhammer life balance. Look, this is definitely a passion project for us. We're going to be talking about the things that we're really passionate about, and we'd love to hear the things that you're also passionate about, because we'd be more than happy to talk about them as well. For me, like Ben said, I bought a GSC army off him, and being the family man that I am, as he was selling an entire army, I said, hey, look, can I do that on a payment plan? Because if I try and drop a grand or so on an army, my missus is going to be asking me some questions. And found out he was from Adelaide, and he's like, oh, you're going to Uprising? I was like, yeah, mate. He goes, oh, look, if you paid half of it by then, I'll just give it to you then. I thought, what a legend, yeah? Like, just the trust and the people that you meet in this hobby, 95% of the time, they're just absolute top blokes.
I'd go higher and say 98, 99. I haven't yet met and censorship here, dickhead. We all know that guy that we have to keep an eye on with rules and maybe just check the odd stat here and there. But yeah, look, It is such a great community.
Yeah, they're
Sorry to
very,
cut you
very
off
few and
there.
far between. No, all good. They're very few and far between. I guess I've just been playing competitively long enough that I go, there's a couple out there, but you're never going to run into more than one at an event, which is a big plus. And we're happy to talk you guys through how to deal with that, especially as an average 40K player, as someone who might not be as well practiced or as well versed. That's definitely something that we can cover for you to help with that. I guess for me, I kind of alluded to the fact my favorite part of the hobby is definitely playing the game. I absolutely love playing the game. I have been an Eldar player for as long as I can remember. I love their lore. It's what sucked me into it. It was fantastic. It's really hard because there's not very many Eldar books, and I'm not the biggest fan of Gab Thorpe as a writer. So for me, it's been difficult. It's been difficult finding some good books. I hear you laughing there, Ben, but I think Dark Angels fanboys might agree with me there that if you don't like his writing style, I feel like it's something you really struggle with. So for me, it was about reading the codexes. It was about getting the supplements and not just looking at the rules, but diving deep. The artwork, the concept behind the Wraith Hosts is something that's always intrigued me, and I just bit by bit have added to my collection, added to my collection. I've been really fortunate to have a couple of mates, especially recently, who've chipped in and said, "Yeah, sure, if you swing some cash my way, I'll paint it and I'll match it to your paint scheme." And I've gone, "Thank God," because if I was painting the army that I want now, I'd be painting what I wanted to play 2 years ago still. Massive, massive shout out to my mate Ollie, who is from Spectre Studios. He's the guy who created our artwork. He's the one who created the digital, which is fantastic. And just to get me ready for this first podcast, the gem that he sent me this faster that he painted up in my colors with some OSL, and he said to me on this beautiful car that he's got, said, don't be afraid to try things new. It's his first attempt at OSL. The Farsi looks sick. I'm telling you now, if I run one anytime soon on foot, it's going to be that one, just because the meaning behind it is so strong. So I love the playing. I hate the painting, and it's not that I can't do it. It's that it takes me longer than anyone else I know, and at the end of the day, I go, it doesn't look how I want it to. So I guess in a previous life, I was a chef, and we're very well known for being highly critical. Nothing is ever good enough. You're always looking for the next bit of amazingness that you can do. And I'm sure painters feel the exact same way. I've got some mates, know of some people in the community where I look at something and go, "Geez, that is absolutely incredible. You couldn't possibly do it better." And then the next day, I find out they've stripped it because they're not happy with the color or something went
Very,
wrong. And I just go,
yeah, we're our
"Oh."
own worst critics and we're our own best critics, and the painting side is certainly that is a journey in itself, in addition to learning the buttload of rules, the understanding your opponents and committing stats to memory, and yeah, it's really an all-in hobby. There's no real simple way around it.
No, you've got to find a way around it, and sometimes that way is talking to the guy who sold you the GSC army and saying, "Hey, if I buy more units, are you willing to paint them?" And them going, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah,
And then you
sure.
accidentally on purpose throw 100 neophytes and half a dozen trucks and some jackals at them and go, "Thanks." And they go, "Oh wow,
Oh,
this
wow.
was a mistake."
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't a mistake. I don't think the bikes are in the meta as much anymore. If you're looking at shout out to Eric Lithuris's current GSC army that I think he's piloting, it's all about the neophytes and trucks and not so much the jackals. So, I put those to one side, assuming that's the road you're going down. And
Good job there. Good thought there. I appreciate that.
So look, gaming being your passion, mine's been a probably not that you can divide three equally, but reading the books, painting the models, and it was probably to a lesser extent playing the game. Now we talk about Warhammer life balance, and I'm really liking that catchphrase too. With the advent of contrast
Very much.
paints, with the advent of contrast paints, I'm really, really excited because I had to paint 9 8 bound, and if I painted them to the standard of the rest of my army, I wouldn't be playing till next year. I've slapped on four different colors and a white dry brush. I took them to a trial game, and people are saying they actually look pretty good, and I'm like, yeah, it's contrast paint, ixnay on the. They're like, yep. Don't knock it. I think we kind of get to that point where it's not so much about the quality of your painted army, it's just getting those extra 10 points to be battle ready at a tournament. And you will compromise on that visual aspect of your army just to get it ready so you can take it to a tournament. That's certainly what happened to me. And yeah, I'm embracing contrast paint at the moment, but I've shifted to playing, and I think the one of the best things I've done is network.
Yeah,
Network,
I see that 100%.
yep. Network, listen to podcasts, listen to go to tournaments, even if you're not playing. Stand and watch a game for 20 minutes, change tables, go to the next one. Go to stores, play games. It's just about getting reps in. It's,
Yeah, look,
yeah.
we're really lucky here in Queensland. Shout out to Eric and the Ethos crew and the way that Queensland's going about building their scene, which for anyone who's been following the competitive scene lately, Queensland, in a nation of champions, Queensland's probably the toughest place to challenge that because there's just so many quality players. But Eric and Ethos, what they've been doing with their Queensland days, where they mentioned that they had 19 people in Eric's backyard the other week, and there's just people there that, if you've got access to watching how Eric or Hayden or Liam or Simon, any of those AT, Queensland slash WTC boys, how they do things and why they do things, you're going to walk away from a half day there better learned, better prepared for your next game because of
Yep.
that. And one of the biggest things I've learned from them is that you don't have to play a whole game to learn. Play a turn or two, re-rack, go
Re-rack.
again, change some
Yep.
deployment,
Yep.
change who goes first, and you'll get more out of your day from doing that. So if you're an average 40K player, which we're definitely marketing ourselves towards because there's so many top tier players and podcasts where we're like, we're going to hit that middle of the line, but you want to get better. That's the way to do it, is to listen to these guys, watch these guys, talk to them, challenge yourself. Don't be afraid against playing them. They don't bite as long as they haven't had too many drinks. And something that came up, I was talking to a mate and they're like, but you're not an average 40K player. And I was like, well, average is subjective, isn't it? Like in Queensland, I'd call myself pretty average in a country where we are known for our high skill level, high play level, our differences in meta choices. If I went to a different country, it might be completely different. But average for us is that kind of baseline where we go, this is where we're at and we want to improve.
And there's probably a distinct lack of ego in what we're doing here too. And look, I will humbly say I'm average. We've got a great competitive scene here. It's not of the high caliber that Queensland is, and we're talking ATC at the moment, and I think Queensland will go into that tournament front up favourites. That's certainly the talk around town here. Again, we're talking about elite play here on on an average channel. But going back to what we were saying before, networking, playing World Eaters, and shout out to Wayne Russell, who was a WTC coach and an all-round fantastic guy. I've been bouncing list ideas off of him over Facebook for a couple of weeks now. We're talking about Land Raiders, how their toughness 9, 16 wounds, 2 plus save, putting 8 bound in them, marching them across the table. And he's highly approachable, and he is providing a lot of feedback and support. So the networking aspect, I can't talk up enough. If you're someone who's a bit cagey and you don't like going up, walking up to random people, hey, we all sit behind computers and phones and iPads. You can find these people on Facebook. You can message them. I haven't been turned away once yet. And
Not
the Facebook groups
100%.
too. The Facebook groups, like SA40K, that is like full of memes of us bagging the hell out of each other before a tournament, but there is some really good, meaningful discussion that goes on there as well. So.
And on that, state-based level Facebook groups, that's where you see some great discussion, see some great questions asked. We've got our own Queensland 40K tournaments. It's run by the venerable Josh McGowan, an absolute legend of the scene in Queensland and Australia. And like Ben said, I've never been turned down by anyone I've asked a question. I've never turned anyone down. And we alluded to this earlier, but the people you meet in this hobby, hands down, are some of the best. I was fortunate enough to be chatting to one somewhat known person, goes by the name of Sam Lemon, at ATC last year. And I was chatting to him after our round, looked at my phone, and my partner had been in a car crash. She was T-boned. Thankfully, my six-week-old son at the time wasn't in the car, and I just was shocked. Went, oh, holy F, and he had a look, and he's like, mate, do you need me to buy tickets and, like, flights home? I was like, I literally have been talking to this guy for 15 minutes, and he's already offering to help me out in a really difficult situation. Doesn't know me from a bar of soap, really. And I just thought to myself, how is this not one of the greatest hobbies you can do in the world, where you've met someone for that long and that's what we're willing to do? You yourself, Ben, uprising this year, were like, mate, do you need a lift? I was like, oh, I've already called an Uber, but you're willing to take someone you've met once and chatted to a bit on Facebook to the airport. The people are not scary in this hobby. The people in this hobby want to talk. They want to share that passion, which is why so many of us like to talk on podcasts and things like that. So utilize your community, utilize the Australian community, and ask questions. It's the best way to learn.
It's probably a good time to plug our Facebook page, which has been in existence for about 2 weeks, and we kind of did the first invites today. And I think last time I looked, we had around 70 likes or subscriptions there. And, you know, in a non-communist way, this is a podcast for the people, the average player. So if there is something you would like us to talk about, it's a democracy in that sense. We're happy to you know, pick up some trends, patterns. If people are asking for the same sort of content, then yeah, we'll certainly see about delivering on what you want. And, you know, if the worlds collide, the stars unite, we'll even get people on, and hey, you could be one of them. We're not rolling with a Patreon yet. We're still very, 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 very junior at this. We want your feedback. We want to know if we're on the right track, and this is something that's going to have legs, wheels, going forward. So look, this is the litmus test, episode one. So yeah, without going off track.
The pilot episode.
Very
new and blue, but very, very passionate. And we've spoken at length. It's something that we've been speaking about for probably about 2 months now, and it's taken us this long to organize ourselves, create the Facebook group. This is how crazy I was. I was like, stuffed, I go buy a mic because I only have a work laptop, and Education Queensland is not known for splashing the cash on its workers, unfortunately. Then we created the Facebook group. We've taken our time to make sure that we can record quality content for you. It's what we want to do. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you want to do, what you want to hear from. We want to get people on. I just checked, Ben, we're at 74 likes on our page, or members of our group. I'm sometimes very technologically challenged. I don't know the difference, but huge shout out to those of you who have already jumped on board. We can't wait to keep on making content for you. I guess this is as good a time just to talk about the two closest events that we've got. So I'll hand over to you, Ben. You go first about your team's tournament. I'm guessing lists are locked, live, loaded, ready to go, so you can share your own list at least and give away all your secrets. So all the people who listen after the event.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if we'll get this up afterwards. But yeah, what are you running in the world, Eaters? I'm keen.
Okay, so I'm running the Lord Invocatus with a...
Old Mate Avocado.
Yeah, old mate, Lord Avocado, with a Master of Sexecutions as a bit of a beat stick, keeping him company. I've got a squad of five and a squad of four 8-bound, and two squads of three Exalted 8-bound, four squads of five Khorne Berserkers with Icons and Plasma Pistols, one squad of Jackals, three Chaos Spawn,
there they are.
A Mauler Fiend, a Chaos Land Raider, thanks Wayne Russell, I talked you into trialing it, but I'm yet to trial it, and a Rhino. So my shooting phase, if I get turn one or turn two, will literally be four Las Cannons and a Heavy Bolter. Maybe a couple of Havoc launches.
Don't discount those plasma pistols your Khorne Berserkers have got, right?
Surely
they're getting in range turn one.
Yeah, maybe. Look, Exalted 8-bound, regular 8-bound can go into Strat Reserve and come on first turn, which is something that has been playing around in my head, how I'm going to manage that. My troops are op 6, so, Khorne Berserkers, what do I do with them? And World Eaters are really peculiar in that in order to score and do well, you need to die and you need to kill stuff. So you can't play conservatively, but you still need to survive 5 turns, so you're not giving away a whole heap of primary at the end of the game. So you need stuff to die to get your blood tithe, and you also need to kill stuff to get your blood tithe. So, and piling the skulls, etc. So I'm really, really excited to take them tomorrow. I met with our team captain last night, Nathan Meach. So I'm in a team called the Yabby Hunters. We'll unpack that another day. But
Yabbies.
those that were at Uprising certainly would have heard the term Yabbies being yelled. We've got on the team, we got Liam. I forget Liam's last name all of a sudden. James Beale on Votan. Liam's playing Smurfs. And we've got Nathan Meach, team captain, on Chaos Demons. And we've got a mercenary, Josh Strathern, who's bringing his Chaos Knights. So we've got a bit of a mixed bag on as to what we're up against. There are some really good teams we'll be playing. So Heroic Intentions, who have rebranded to the Power Stances. So that's Simon Vickers, Josh Engelke, Adam Napier, the Uprising guys, along with Jono Bishop and Benjamin Reggett.
Look, huge shout out to all of those guys too. I know them all. They're all fantastic dudes. Uprising crew is fantastic. Ben Riggett and I played at the first Uprising, and I've never seen anyone make so many six up Feel No Pains on Pain Engines, which made me very sad. The Sisters of Battle type, that is. And Jono Bishop, I will never ever forget VTC and a plane blowing up and doing 15 out of 15 mortal wounds to my backline of Eldar after he got the jump, and that was just the most horrific start to a game. So I can't wait to hear the bad things you do to him.
Right, well, Nathan and I last night, we were going through pairings on all five teams, and we got to the power stances and we kind of looked at each other and said, whatever happens, happens. Whoever we get paired into, we get paired into. That's not one that we expect to win, but as Nathan said, hopefully we create some good experiences for those guys. Look, they are fantastic players. A lot of the guys on the ATC teams are in separate teams. So we've got ATC A, ATC B, Culture Gaming, and Anti-Meta Meteor with Brendan Catalano. So it's really the rat pack of 40K players in South Australia. We got the five teams, and we're also they're running a neophyte teams event as well. So
Oh,
some
that's
teams that
sick.
aren't used to the pairing process and how it works, they're playing 1 day, so 3 games. For the rest of us, it's 5 games over 2 days. So this will be my first teams experience, and Nathan invited me over for a slice of pizza and a can of soft drink last night, and yeah, look, I've well and truly got the hang of it, and we went through multiple, scenarios with the pairings. So, but look, what happens on the day is what happens on the day. You can't predict the future, but it gave me a lot more understanding of what happened at WTC. And Australia, for those that are listening that aren't aware, and you've alluded to a few times, Michael, where we're in a bit of a renaissance in Australia at the moment of 40K. Those guys winning the WTC in Belgium, I think, has just perked everyone up. Everyone wants to get out. Everyone wants to get around the events. Everyone wants to up their game. We're looking up to those guys in a really inspirational way, and I think it's absolutely fantastic for the local scene, and it's certainly made me want to get into teams play. So we'll do a bit of a
There's so
recap.
much you've alluded to, so much you've alluded to there, which is like episodes of content. And I'm super keen you're doing your first teams event because, as so many people say, teams is hands down the best way to play 40K. I have a habit in singles tournaments. I'm really lucky. Round one or round two, I'll cop Liam Hackett or Eric Lathouris, And I'll go, cool, it was a good run, but now I'm definitely not going to podium because they've kind of taken me out. And then normally in round, the last round, I end up with either Brian or Ben Warrior. And Brian's that type of person that goes, you know what, for this one game, I'm just going to roll absolutely hot and you're going to roll absolutely trash, except for one turn that gives you hope. And Ben and I, up until recently, just traded. He won, I won, he won, I won. But going back to what you're saying about team events and the Renaissance, I went to VTC, so Victorian Team Championships, twice last year. I went to ATC last year. I've already done the Gladiator Gaming Team events this year, which is the event I'll talk about, because with ATC not yet happening, as the coach, I'm not letting anything out of the bag for Queensland. You loose lips sink ships, and I will definitely be keeping my mouth very, very shut, because yep. I don't know how to talk on a podcast yet without letting things slip. So Gladiator Gaming Teams event run by Josh McGowan. The normal blokes have spoken about it already with their incredible team that won. Ethos, led by Eric, which were undefeated and came second. I had the joy of being team captain. And as you've now had a bit of an experience with talking to your team captain, Ben, it's a whole different kettle of fish. For me, going to teams, I took four other guys. My good mate, Brent Piggott, who I've known for many years and is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, Matt Kinman, and then the Burnoff brothers, Ivan and Micah. We went in, Josh, very, very kindly, before I even had the team organized, decided to name the team Mixed Merry Men. And that scared me, because that meant that they're probably going to be like, no, we don't want to be captain. Being captain of a team's event is something that's completely different. I'll probably go into this more as an average player who has been captain before. But at that event, we were super proud. We went 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. Again, for some strange reason, got to play Eric. It was fantastic. We played into the Ethos boys. We kind of looked at all their teams and looked at the players, even with the returning players. We just kind of went, look, we're going to learn something here. We're going to learn. Each and every one of us is going to learn something, and that's going to be important for us. And we learned so much. And as a team, we were super proud of ourselves, because myself excluded, we didn't have any rep players. We didn't have anyone who had played for Queensland or on a Mercenaries team or WTC. I was it. And look, that's not a great person to have as your only rep player, someone who decides to start a podcast for average players. But we fought and scrapped, and we were super meticulous in our pairings to go and trust each other. And we ended up coming away with 4th, which was absolutely massive for us. The 3 teams above us were Ethos, TNB with WTC players, and Chad Victorsman, so the Victorian ATC team. So for us, we were absolutely cheering. We had a nail biter last round into another Queensland team with Ollie as a captain. And then they had, you know, Brian and Ben, who I've alluded to before. Ben, that was, I apologize in advance to Ben Warrior. I'm really sorry I broke our streak of trading 1 for 1 for 1 for 1. It was definitely your turn. And that little baby knight living on that objective to make it not a draw. Look, I'm sorry, but also not sorry. And hopefully I don't have to play you again anytime soon, so you just don't keep on smashing me.
So, yeah, teams. And look, I was following you on the Best Coast pairing app that day. Michael, it's something that I've started doing when I know there's a decent tournament around. My wife will say, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just on Best Coast pairings. I think the next round's over. I just want to see how these players went. So it's really like a football fanatic watching every game of football happening at the same time. Maybe one day when, you know, we're even more technologically advanced, we'll log onto an app and we'll actually watch these games unfold in front of us. And, yeah, we'll be able to hear some sort of commentary going on. But anyway, certainly don't rule it out. Yeah.
In the not too distant future, I'm sure, like, we've obviously seen games being streamed before, but
yeah,
in a perfect world, we would have cameras on every table and you'd be able to just flick between. One day, let's hope that we get there. I would absolutely love that, because as fun as it is to refresh that BCP app and see who's won and who's lost, and then you're like, oh my God, what a shock result. And then you go, oh no, they just entered the scores wrong, and it flips from an 18-2 to a 2-18. You're like, ah, oh, that makes more sense. So ideally, mate, we we'd get you up here for a team event. That's
Yeah,
the long
well,
term goal.
no, that's that. The Qantas points are well and truly there. It's the brownie points that that I've got to have well and truly saved up. I just hearing you before, and talking about the average player and getting better. Now, I did that neophyte event, and I could have gone neophyte again, probably done half a dozen neophyte events, but I made a very, very, very tough decision, which turns out was a great decision. I decided I only wanted to be a neophyte once, then I wanted to go into the Acolyte tournaments. And I wanted to go in knowing that I would lose, but I would be able to play better players. I wanted to play the Brad McDonalds. I wanted to play the Adam Napiers. I wanted to play those better guys because I wanted to experience 40K at that level. Now, truth to tell, I played four tournaments at Acolyte level. That's the way we grade them in South Australia. You got Neophyte, Beginner. Obviously, Acolyte is for your more seasoned player. And I was winning one game out of three each time. And one thing I did notice was my losing margins were narrowing. I was getting better and better. I was playing different factions, different players. I was experiencing that meta you talked about, or you keep mentioning, Michael. And I just kept getting better and better. And listening to Stephen Box on his podcast, actually forget what it's called now, but he
Vanguard
actually,
Tactics.
yeah, Vanguard Tactics, yeah. And he actually runs an academy, and I'll shout out to it, but I haven't done it, but one thing he encouraged players to do was try and score at least 70 points a game. Make that your mission. Take the focus away from tabling your opponent. Take the focus away from scoring 100. Try and get that 70. And that's been my modus operandi probably for the past 12 months. And because I've focused so hard on how am I going to get 70 points in this game, I've actually averaged probably about 80 in a win, lose, or draw. So
And again, like that MO where you go, I want to hit 70 points, because no one likes getting smashed unless you
no.
just, it's one of those games you go, cool, after turn one, I'm just going to get absolutely towed and I'm just going to have as much fun as possible.
Yeah.
But that idea of fighting for 70 points translates really well into a team's tournament, because the second you start going, hey, look, if I hit 70 points and I can stop them from getting 100,
Yeah.
that's huge on the differential, especially if you go into those red matchups. So that mindset that you've mentioned is a great way to prepare yourself for team tournaments. I know, again, I've had team tournaments where I've had the captain come up to me and go, how many points are you going to get? And you go, I'm going to get dumpstered here, but I'm going to fight for 3 points. And they say to you, great, if you can get 3 points, that's fantastic. And it's that difference in that team event where you getting 3 points can be the difference between your team losing and drawing, or drawing and winning a round. And it makes such a different event where it doesn't necessarily matter if you lose. It doesn't matter at all in the slightest sometimes. I was heartbroken round one of ATC because I felt like I let the team down. We played against Tasmania, great dudes. I played against a guy called Shannon, who's playing lovely Harlequins. It was fantastic. I loved Void Weavers back then. But I was the only member of my team to not get a win. I was like, oh, I let the team down. But in hindsight, it's sometimes it's about taking that loss so your other teammates can do better. So I think with the huge amount of team events around, it's definitely going to be something we talk about more and more. But I love the way that South Australia seems to try and build up their players. They've got a really structured tournament, I guess, idea. And I'd love to look at how other states could potentially look at that as a way to build people up who are newer into the hobby.
Yeah, it's and not even just new to the hobby, like the veterans of the hobby, like I was. It's taking that first step, rocking up to a tournament, and having the courage to do it. And I remember I'd subscribed to Adam Camilleri's podcast, and he makes himself readily available for questions. And I remember sending him a message on Facebook saying, "I'm going to my first tournament. I am absolutely petrified, and he wrote back, "Send me a list." So I sent him my list, and he unpacked it and he said, "Right, what other models do you have that aren't in this list?" And I sent him what was in my toolbox, and he reconfigured my list, and he actually gave me some pros, which I took to the event, and I actually won my first game, and I thought, "I've got this." Yeah, the next two are a different story, but that 70 points I mentioned, look. Even not in a teams event, in a singles event, if you think, right, I can get this on primary, I can get this on secondary, I'm going to aim to get 70 points. Make that your first goal. Once you're hitting 70 regularly, aim for 80. I guarantee you the wins will come if you set these smaller goals. And
100%.
to what you're saying, Michael, that you're the only player in your team to not win. From what I was talking to Nathan about last night, every team has that mechanic, that player that has to fall on that really hard matchup and just get something, just get those 3 points. And look, Harlequins, I'm sure at the time were in their own renaissance and absolutely tabling everyone until they had the Nerf bat swung at them in, I think it was March last year, and then they just sort of disappeared into oblivion, or
Yeah, it took
became,
a while for them to drop off, but
yeah.
they're definitely a boogie army for my elder. I've had a few games against Harlequins, and it just never seems to go well for me. But I love that little story about chatting to Adam about your list. I've got a lot of my mates who are much more casual players. They're huge into the painting, converting. I've got some mates who do some wicked conversions. There's like some beautiful ideas they make. They do armies on parade every year, and they'll send me a list and go, "This is what I'm taking to an event." And I'm like, "Oh, like, do you want the good news or the bad news?" And they're like, "Oh, what's the good news?" I was like, "You have lots of other models. I know, I've seen them." And they go, "What's the bad news?" I was like, "Your list is trash. Like, what's your plan here? How are you going to score points?" And they go, "Oh, I don't know." I'm like, "Okay, let's go back to that. How are we going to score points? How are we going to do this?" And these are all things that I can't wait to cover more in future episodes, because if I don't stop myself soon, it's going to quickly go from 8:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. and I'm going to still be talking.
Yeah, and I think our listeners might have dropped off or arrived at work or that bike
Had
ride
enough of
they
listening
went.
to us, either one.
Yeah, correct. That bike ride that they went on ended 15 minutes ago, and they're going to pick us up again tomorrow. Look, we're staring at each other on camera at the moment, Michael up in Queensland and me here in South Australia, and I can see the twinkle in Michael's eye and my own eye on how much we want to talk about, and we've got our brains are just churning, wanting to get all this knowledge out. But we're ultimately, as I said, in a non-communist sense, we're the people's podcast, but we're very diplomatic in that, if there's something you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. And if you would
Hit
actually
us
like
up,
to,
ask us questions.
absolutely. And if there's something you really want to spill your guts on and come onto the show, hey, I'm sure we can make it happen. So
We'll find a way,
we'll find
100%.
we will find a
Otherwise, you
way.
have to listen to me come up with ideas, and that's going to get real old real quick for some of you.
Yeah.
Just ask the kids I teach.
Yeah. And we'll have to talk about you being an apprentice chef and me also being an apprentice chef, because that's something I picked up today as well. So
Woof.
yeah.
Imagine that.
We might swap a recipe or two on
Oh,
the
let's do it. Let's do
podcast.
like Friday night recipe. Yeah, you send me a recipe, I'll send you a recipe. We'll cook it and we'll critique it as we talk about the latest ins and outs and what's coming in for 10th. But look, if you've made it this far on our very first episode,
Thank
thank
you.
you so much.
Yep.
We're so excited to hear from you. We're so excited to get any and all feedback, good, bad, ugly. Even if you turn around and say, "I hate your guts, you sound like trash, never record again," I'll chalk it up as a constructive criticism on how to
Absolutely.
improve. But
Absolutely.
thanks so much, everyone. We're looking forward to hear from you. And yeah, until next time.
Arrivederci.